Nice to be here. I couldn't help but think as I was sitting there that it was, well, it will be 40 years next March the 3rd since I came here, first of all. And that was with Mr. McBain for a series of gospel meetings, and there are many happy memories from that. Trust that the Lord will bless this weekend as God speaks to our souls. I want to read in the book of 2 Corinthians, please, in chapter 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be or heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made, or is being made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Trust that God will bless what we've read from God's precious word. We've read about an experience or experiences with God. Some of you might say, well, it's a preacher in paradise, and that's not Hawaii, even though I did think of it as I read it. Preacher in paradise, an experience with God, the ecstasy of it all, God honoring this man by including him in his purpose and plan. This is Valentine's Day. I'm sure some of you probably guessed that. And I was thinking that there's some things about Valentine's Day that need to be updated. Like roses are red and violets are blue. Really, violets are violet. That's why they're called violets. And roses, they're many-hued. I think it is time it got updated. Addresses need to be updated, of course. Plans have to be updated. But what about today, your experience with God? How about it now? How long has it been? How near did you sense yourself in the things of God? An experience with God. Overall, we see God's preparation for Paul to be further useful in his plan there in Corinth. We see God's gift before the grief. We've read about the thorn. We see in this passage the ecstasy before the agony. Overall, we see how God was grounding him in his ways. He's the one who may choose to humble us, or he may lift us up, just as he chooses in his perfect will and purpose. so to work a balance in our life. Here's a man, he was given a sight of glory. Sometimes we feel a little left out in some of these things. You know, some people seem to rise higher in their experience with God. Some people seem to struggle more than others. And all of this is true. But all of us, in a very unique and special way, have a privilege of being in the very presence of God. As I trust we sense tonight. And will throughout this weekend. And I trust each of us will have a deeper experience with God than we have experienced at times in the past. I want to speak about visions. And I want to speak about vistas. I want to speak a little bit about victory. And I want to speak about voices. And I want to talk about the volume of the Word of God. We're obviously not going to touch everything that's in this passage. But when I think of visions, I think of a man named Zacharias there in the holy place, struck speechless for months as the fulfillment of God's purpose. You ever wonder about his thoughts? Ever wonder about how often he contemplated that very special moment when there was that vision from heaven that filled his soul and his very heart? I think of Peter on the rooftop. You remember the circumstances, how that great sheet was let down time and time again. And he experiences something that brings about a change of mind. Sometimes an experience with God can give us a very healthy and wise change of mind. I think too of Ananias. In the early book there, early part of the book of Acts. What a beautiful picture he is to me of a saint who expects to hear from God. I just love how it puts it when it says, God speaks to him, Ananias. And he says, yes. As though he was expecting God to speak to him, to direct him. To so use him. Yes, Lord. Do we have that kind of expectancy today as we think about our interaction with our God and his word and his truth? Experiences with God. I think about Cornelius. He too saw a vision. And all of these were in the body. Now, when it comes to this one that we've read about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul isn't sure whether it's in the body or not. But here he is. And a number of visions of Paul's are mentioned in the scriptures. Even when it came to his salvation. I remember there on the Damascus Road, the Lord in a wondrous way appeared to him. You ever wonder how many times you thought about it? In the days to come, maybe in those first days, he thought about it more than others, but I'm sure that there were moments when his mind would go back instantaneously to a moment when he met the Lord on the Damascus Road. Unforgettable. He said it was a heavenly vision. Heaven came down, interfered with his plans and his life and turned them all about. Unforgettable. I think of that vision when he was told that Ananias was going to come to him. And there in that passage we see a restoration ministry that takes place as he's given back his sight. And he's instructed to be baptized. Experiences with God. I can remember waiting when I was saved a few months. I don't know, I suppose I thought that the brethren would never think I was really saved. I'd been such a rascal. And it seemed as though every one of them had come to me and encouraged me in that path. You know, it's wonderful when people are involved in our lives and influence us in a direction for God. And here's this man. And can you imagine the darkness of his thinking before? Has he kicked against the goads and resisted the dealings of God and watched Stephen die a martyr's death, calling upon his Lord? And now, given his sight, he gets a chance to see things differently than he ever had before. Isn't it wonderful when God's salvation and his truth comes in and our eyes are open to see what we were and to see new things we've never seen before? Visions. I was thinking too of the vision of purpose in Acts chapter 22. As he's instructed how he's to go out to the Gentiles. There was a work to be done, and he was the man to do it in God's purpose and in God's thinking. And he listened to that voice, and he responded to that voice. A vision of God about purpose. You say, well, as a believer, am I expecting to get a vision like they did? I think God can certainly give you vision, brother, sister. He gives it through his word. He gives it in times of communion with God. And you know, when you come to Acts chapter 16, you find that there's a vision of guidance in the life of Paul. Remember the man of Macedonia? He saw in a vision of the night a man of Macedonia's beckoning him, come over and help us. Oh, thank God for moments when in our lives as believers we're given guidance, a way to go, to serve God better, to be in tune with his purpose for us, and to step out in faith. Visions of guidance. There were visions of assembly intention for Corinth, and I'm not going to deal with that one. And a future testimony when the Lord told him, you will bear witness also of me in Rome. In the storm that we read of there in the book of Acts again, chapter 27. What do we read? There stood by me this night the angel of God. Fear not. With those sails ripped from the mast and that ship driven by the sea, here's a man who stands up and says, God was standing there with me. A vision. Oh, we need a vision of this today. No matter what the pathway of life, no matter what the circumstances might be for you or for me, no matter what we might encounter, no matter what tests or challenges we might face, we need a vision of God standing with us in our purpose to please and to serve him. No matter whether the waves are high or the way be difficult. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we have that vision of apostolic authority. And what do we read of him? He said, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. He says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. I want you to think not only of visions, but I want you to think of vistas. Vistas of the Lord. Revelations. Unfoldings. Uncovering that which would have been hidden or not recognized before. Visions and revelations of the Lord. He says, they were of surpassing greatness. Isn't it wonderful when our appreciation of God grows? And when our understanding of what it is that he's unfolded to us impresses us again and again in further and greater ways. This was a reason for exaltation. But think about this. How could you have an experience like this and not be humbled? Brethren and sisters, if we enjoy the privilege of God unfolding his truth or his son, his purposes to us, it ought to be with humility. We bow to thank him. I know you would expect that with all of this and with all our blessings, we ought to be so humble, so appreciative. And sometimes we are humbled and we are brought low and we do offer genuine thanks and appreciation to God. But sometimes still, not humble enough. Oh, the fullness. Oh, the greatness of what God has opened our eyes to see and understand. Of what has been brought before us through the life of the Lord Jesus, leading God into full view that we might fully grasp him and his purposes through his word. Remember Peter, the Lord Jesus speaks to him after there were those who had made their choice to go away. He says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father." You know, none of us are owed the blessings that we've received. When I think of what I was in my sin, when I think of how dark my mind was and how contrary my purposes were, and to think that in such grace, God stretched forth his hand and, like the leper, touched me. I thank God. I know I'm unworthy. And oh, to think of the tremendous revelation of God that he would bring before us. You know, in chapter 11, you read about how men may have moved Paul out of the city. But God moved him right out of this world. God brought him near to him in this experience that we read of. Chapter 11, he's let down in the basket. Here, he's caught up to the third heaven. What a contrast. We have a wonderful God, brethren and sisters. He ought to thrill our souls every moment that we live. His kindness towards us calls for our praise day in and day out. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his marvelous kindness to the children of men. He's so worthy of it. He's so deserving of it. He has been so kind and gracious in it. Quite a contrast. Bring him in to the third heaven. When it comes to that vista, that unfolding, that revelation, was it very wide, panoramic? Was it down through the ages? Or was it very focused on the virtue and the grace of his Lord? We're not told. But I can tell you this. Wherever God might focus your attention through the word of God that reveals his son and his purposes, we can say like the hymn writer, "Occupied with thee, Lord Jesus, I am blessed." God has so richly and wonderfully blessed us. I want you to think about the victory. Again, that's the idea of the third heaven, at least in my thinking. We know that the atmospheric heavens, the first heavens, as we might call them, and we know beyond that the stellar heavens. Exploration has taken man to the fringes of that. But when you come to the third heaven, it's the spiritual realm. This is of a nature totally different, far transcending the physical altogether and the glories of them. As great as they are, could scarcely be compared with that which is more real than all the stuff that we can see and all the things that we encounter. Have you set your affections on heavenly things? Has your heart been drawn away from the trivial stuff of life that's only just for a little while and soon will pass away? He was privileged. So are we. He was honored greatly. So are we. I sometimes am startled to think of the understanding that God gives to the believer when the world seems so blind. When they don't know the time and they don't understand the circumstances, they don't realize the tremendous things that are taking place in their time, and all of the trivial will pass away in a moment. And you and I have a share in the eternal. You and I have a grip upon what can never be taken away. Oh, the glories of the grace of God that ever brought us near. Anyone else have experience like Paul's? We will. Caught up. What a moment. Done with earth and all its hurts and sorrows and disappointments. Caught up in a moment to meet the Lord himself in the air. Hugh Walker was a man from one of the assemblies in Toronto. I've only heard the stories, so I wasn't a witness of it. But in the early days of plane flight, he was in a plane, and I guess he was somewhat overwhelmed by it all. And he asked for permission to stand up in the aisle. He was a beautiful tenor singer. And he sang, "I'm going higher. Yes, higher someday. I'm going higher to stay. Beyond the blue sky and above all the rest." He's going higher. How about it? But we still have our hope set on that. Is that still what's dearest and nearest to our heart's longing and desire? Experiences with God will bring us nearer to the kind of thinking God intends us to have. Interesting when it comes to the voices. Says he heard unspeakable words. No mention. Did you notice? No mention of what he saw. No mention of it. It's what he heard. It was enough. An experience like this would have an enduring effect. Oh, he might never be able to communicate what he saw, if he saw, or what he heard. But there's no question about it. The impact would never leave him. It would touch everything he did from that moment on. It would certainly give him a sense of eternal like he'd never had before. An experience with God. The experience he had that day. Paul, with all his ability, by the enablement of the Spirit of God, imagine not being able to say anything about it. It was John that was given that responsibility for what he saw. And to the churches, he discloses some of those things, though I'm sure there were many issues that, well, many things that he didn't get the full impact of. Paul didn't have this responsibility laid upon him that he had to communicate what he heard. It was just for him. Isn't that sweet? The Lord wanted him to hear these words. The Lord wanted him to know this intimacy with his God. You know, it's good to know when to speak and when not to speak and what not to speak. Here's a man, I don't know. Can you imagine holding this in for 14 years? I remember Ed Doherty when he grew elderly and not well, and he wasn't able to communicate the truth. He still studied and he read his Bible consistently, daily. Many, many, many truths were unfolded to him. And I remember him sitting me down and saying, well, he called me son. He said, son, there's so many things I know now in a better way than I did before, and have no ability to give it out. Just for him. I tried to get him to write a book about it. He wouldn't even be persuaded about that. But oh, it's so sweet to get something so precious from God that it fills your soul and transports your interest and occupies you with the man and the glory, Christ Jesus. You know, there's some experiences in our life, and they may be true, but in telling them, we tend to spin around them kind of a greater glory. They call that exaggeration. But this is an event that defied both exaggeration and expression. It was something just for him. I want you to think about the volume, and I've only got half a minute to tell you the volume of his word. You know, brethren and sisters, we have the word of God. We have the volume wherein the full revelation of him is granted to us. We have this book, and this book is what he wants us to know right now about him. The day may come when we'll have a greater experience as we behold him, as we see him as he is. But right now, we have the full volume of the word of God. My Bible tells me, thy word was found, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Is it to you? Is this where we find our delight? Is this where we find our joy? Remember the Salvation Army lady? There was such a change in her life after she got saved. And someone spoke to her and they said, what made the difference? This is what she said. God gave the word. I stood right in the light of it, right in the center of it, and I was changed. May the Lord at this time give us an experience with himself that we will rejoice in forever and seek to practice what we know for the glory of the one who has drawn us closer to him. May God bless his word.